In previous videos, podcasts, I have discussed the provisions and specifically the timing of making objections to title and survey, along with the automatic extension of closing date, under paragraph 60 of our 1-4 family contract. Today, however, I want to talk about what a buyer can object to under those provisions. This will not be a podcast on what a buyer should object to. Paragraph 6D specifically states, buyer may object in writing to defects, exceptions, or encumbrances to title disclosed on the survey other than items 6A 1 through 7 above in the contract, disclosed in the commitment other than items 6A 1 through 9 above in the contract, or which prohibit the following use or activity. Then there is a long line for buyer to insert the specific use or activity they intend to put the property to use with. First, we need to understand what items we cannot object to when they show up on the survey. As I said, these are items listed in paragraph 6A 1 through 7, which include 1, restrictive covenants common to the subdivision. These would include such things as setback lines and maintenance agreements between neighboring properties. Or 2, the standard title exception to such things as taxes and assessments. 3, liens that will be created as part of the financing for the transaction. 4, utility easements created by the plat of the subdivision. 5, reservations and exceptions otherwise disclosed in the contract and agreed to by buyer. 6, the standard exception as to marital rights. And 7, the standard exception to tidelands, beaches, streams, and related matters, which on the survey would show up as streams running through the property or beaches that abut the property, which may subject the property to such things as erosion. Then any other items showing up on the survey may be subject to an objection. Those are such things as the perimeter fence encroaching or protruding off the property line, the improvements on the property extending past the setback lines, a pool built over a utility easement, or such things. The second part, we need to understand what items we cannot object to when they show up on the commitment. And these are items, including everything in 6A 1 through 7 just discussed, and items 6A 8 and 9 under the contract. These are, number 8, the standard exception to discrepancies, conflicts, shortages in area or boundary lines, encroachments or protrusions or overlapping improvements. The buyer can require this standard exception to be amended to delete any exceptions to discrepancies and conflicts in the boundary lines or encroachments and protrusions or overlapping improvements upon payment of an extra premium. This has been discussed in prior podcasts. Number 9 states that the buyer cannot object to the exclusion as to minerals. Title policies do not insure mineral ownership. Any other items showing up in the commitment other than items 6A 1 through 9 mentioned just above, they are subject to objection. These would be items such as an easement affecting the property that was created after the plat was recorded, a boundary line agreement between neighboring property owners, or a unique restriction placed on the subject property that is not common to the rest of the properties in the subdivision. In addition, if buyer has a specific use or activity to which he or she wants to put the property that may otherwise be restricted or prohibited by the accepted items in 6A 1 through 9, and buyer inserts those specific uses or activities on the blank line in paragraph 60, then buyer may object to those restrictions and prohibitions. These specific uses or activities are uses or activities not already on the property. Commonly noted on this line is pool, meaning buyers want to build a pool on the property and want to be sure that the utilities set forth in the plat do not get in the way of building a pool. If a pool already exists, then it does not need to be added to this line. If the current pool encroaches over an easement, then that shows up on the survey and can be objected to. Other uses are also just as important to address. For instance, if the buyer wants to run a business out of his or her home, such as a daycare or senior care, or wants to raise chickens in the backyard, it would be wise to insert those specific uses on that line in 6D. Otherwise, a restrictive covenant common to the subdivision could contain restrictions that say no business can run out of the home or any portion thereof, or it could prohibit having any farm animals living on the property. Without an insertion of that specific use, buyer could not object to those restrictions. Here it is important for you to understand that a title policy does not insure use. It only insures title. The question I get frequently asked is whether a buyer should always insert in paragraph 6D, single family residence. This would mean a buyer can object to title if the title commitment or survey shows that the property cannot be used for a single family residence. If the property already exists as a single family residence, this statement has no impact. The only time this might be something to address with your buyer is if the property currently is a single family residence, but the property has been rezoned for commercial use. That would mean to tear down and build another single family residence, it may be restricted by commercial building requirements. Nothing in the title policy will address this rezoning or any zoning at all. Therefore, it would not show up as an objection to which the buyer could object. Buyer should do his or her own research as to current zoning issues before writing a contract, or make zoning a special contingency under the contract, not using paragraph 6D for that purpose. I hope this podcast provides you with information you can use. Allegiance strives to be a resource for you, and we appreciate the business. Look forward to seeing you at the closing table. Thank you.